via Autry.com. That's www.TURIYAAUTRY.com. Make a change.
This program has been made possible in a part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Hawthorne Veterinary Clinic, striving to promote the health and well-being of your animal companions by blending conventional and alternative medicine. Hawthorne Vet is located at 1431 Southeast 23rd, just north of Hawthorne in Portland. Information at 503-233-2332 and hawthornvet.com.
Could you come forward, please?
Step back! Damn it!
Y'all are new at this, I'm guessing.
Could you come forward, please?
Good evening, America. You are tuned to the Hour.
Radio Theater!
On KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM.
Oh,
It's February 2019, a month after President Trump confirmed that he will run for a second term. But he stunned his own party and his base by declaring that he planned to run as a Democrat. The Democratic Party leadership was dumbfounded at first, and there was outrage in some quarters, but over the course of the week, key party leaders seemed to warm to the idea.
Once again, the setting is the year-round office of the president at Mar-a-Lago Resort in Miami Beach, Florida. President Trump is meeting with his closest advisors, Chief of Staff Rince Priebus and Special Advisor Kellyanne Conway. Also present are Steve Bannon, Chief Strategist and Senior Counselor, and Captain Robert Fisk, Trump's Principal Medical Advisor. The president is discussing a personal decision that takes everyone by surprise.
Well, I must say, Mr. President, this is a shocker. I knew you were having some personal identity issues, but I don't know what to say.
Rince, I don't want to hear any whining about this. It's a fact, and I have to go with it. And so do you, so just go with it.
Okay, I can accept that, but we need a strategy for getting the word out. A public relations plan or something.
Fuck that, man. I'll take care of it in a tweet, like I told you. I can do whatever I want, and my base will continue to love my ass. When are you going to get this?
Okay, I get that you can do anything you want, but this is over the top. Last week you said you were going to run as a Democrat, and now you're saying you're going to run as a woman?
Donna Trump! I love the way that sounds.
Yeah, but
nothing. First woman president. First president elected as both a Republican and a Democrat. I'll keep my base, and I'll add those housewives and old lesbians who've always hated me. Even the Catholics will like this. This will be amazing. I'll win the popular vote this time. Not that I didn't win it last time, but this time no one will even come close.
Okay, I get it, but I need to get my brain around this. The practical issues. We need to think this through.
Okay, let's bring Kellyanne in on this. She's fantastic. I love her. It's that Irish-Italian thing. I wish I'd known her 20 years ago. Where is she? Let's get her in here now.
Hey, Mr. President. At your service, big guy.
Kellyanne, I love you. You are the best. I'll never forget how you came up with that line about alternative facts. Outstanding.
It was nothing. Actually, I think it was Bannon's expression.
And you looked right at the camera and told that dumbass Todd that we were dealing with alternative facts. Get used to it, beer face. He's still trying to come up with an answer. Great work, baby. I love you.
Thanks, boss, but I was just following orders. If it weren't for you, I'd be working in a cannery in New Jersey. If there were any canneries still located there.
Yes, right. You're right about that. And that is exactly why I love you. You know your place, and you kick ass anyway. No need to be humble, but you pull it off big time.
Yeah, thanks.
And when you slug that guy at the inauguration after party, I don't know anybody who would do that. Even Rudy wouldn't do that. And he's a tough hombre. Thank you, I mean that.
Okay, so what's up?
Okay, this is big. This is really big. You know I've had some conflicting feelings lately about, you know.
Yeah, I know. Your sexual identity. No problem. We all have some identity confusions at some point in our lives.
No, it's bigger than that. Not just identity confusion. I am looking at a sex change operation. The whole nine yards. The whole enchilada. Thinking outside the box.
Okay, what about the medical issues? Have you had those faggots at the Naval Hospital give you an opinion?
Well, my personal physician is here. What'd you say, Fisk?
Change will be seamless. The presidential privates are already diminished, shrunken. We can reform them surgically with little or no risk. Just add breasts, augment what's there, a little cosmetic reshaping of the chin and nose. The president will make Chelsea Manning look like a desert camel. He'll look better, better as a woman.
Okay, but what about the psychological issues? How will we manage that? Is he, she going to act a little crazy? The Angela Merkel factor? What about that?
Look, we're living in a medicated world, my friend. There are lots of ways to deal with mood effects.
Steve, you've been quiet, you badass. What's the neo-Nazi take on this?
I love the idea. Our people could care less.
Any legal issues? Anything we have to take care of in advance?
No. I smacked those judges down enough times now. That goddamn judiciary won't be a problem.
That is good.
I want to have an ISO on Hillary at the inauguration. I can see her contorted, brainless grin as she watches you take the oath in a pantsuit. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, the inauguration. I'll have some fun with that. I've already been looking at white pantsuits from Michael Kors. Can you see me in white pantsuit? Of course, I love that.
Boss, have you talked about this with your family?
You mean the boys? Yeah, sure, they don't care. They got their businesses to run. My businesses. They're busy. We've got, what, 150 of those Trump Tower deals going up around the world, thanks to my State Department real estate initiative. We've got the UN condo conversion project underway, thanks to Jared. Bring it on. Let's all get rich.
By the way, Mr. President, that UN condo conversion project is not going well. Meeting a lot of resistance.
I don't care about resistance. I have no use for that complex. It's the best location in town, and it's a useless collection of tax avoiders. We're giving those people a free ride, and it has to end.
With all due respect, since when have you been paying taxes?
Taxes, schmaxes. I'm tired of subsidizing third world wogs. Sad. We're going to get that property onto the tax rolls. Jared can handle it. He knows Manhattan real estate better than even me.
Okay, yeah. Put the real estate issues aside for a minute. Melania, have you talked with her? How's she gonna take this?
Oh, who cares? Fuck Melania. She's a cigar store Indian, a robot. You saw that clip from the inauguration? It's her communist background. Think about it. Kellyanne, could you have sex with a cigar store Indian? Okay, I take that back. No reason to disrespect Indians.
I don't care about your relation in bed. I'm talking about the politics of the First Lady. She's got her own constituency now. How do we explain this?
No need to explain anything. My base will love this. It looks more like Lucha Libre every day. You know that Mexican wrestling thing where they wear the weird mask and never get out of the costume?
Yeah, and that reminds me, they haven't paid for the wall yet. At some point, we have to deliver on that.
That Peña guy? I'm going to kick his ass, I swear. What a loser. He could never have his own show. We'll show them what carnage is. I'm summoning Magdog down there.
Boss, you talking smack again? This is for real. We have to focus here.
God damn it. I'm going to close that airport or maybe move it to the Everglades. That's it. We'll move it 20 miles out into that useless swamp. That reminds me. I had another idea about them paying for the wall. We tax the Mexican internet. Just a small charge for every second any Mexican is online. They won't even notice it. Gore, I talked with Al Gore about this, and he thought it was a great idea, a real breakthrough. Gore, the guy who invented the internet. Ha ha, sad. But we'll make a lot from that tax, I guarantee it. We'll make millions.
Fine, but millions won't get it. After 3 years of working on that fucking wall and a cost of $30 billion, it's still not done. And it won't ever be done. You know, that wall was maybe the worst idea you ever had.
Oh no, ho. That wall was the best idea I ever had. That's why we're here, isn't it? It is. Am I right? Of course I'm right. I am right. I've always been right. The fuck is wrong with you people?
The scene changes to a small secret office in the Senate office building on Capitol Hill. Key Democratic Senate leaders are huddled around a small table with a receiver in the middle. Schumer, New York, Joe Manchin, III, West Virginia, and Tammy Baldwin, Wisconsin.
Jeez, it's a good thing we got that tap on Mar-a-Lago.
Donna Trump, I love the way that sounds.
Yeah, but...
We owe Comey big time for the plant. That may come around to haunt us someday. Looks like a reverse Watergate plumber operation, but we should never be able to predict these kinds of maneuvers without it. Trump made Machiavelli look like Baby Louie. Munch, what are you thinking?
Okay, we bought the Trump as a Democrat thing, but the sex change? My people will never go for this, never. And you still can't give away coal. My miners were so pissed last week, 10 of them left to join ISIS.
Okay, I think you were underestimating your own constituency. I think they'll absolutely love Donna Trump.
Tammy, what about Wisconsin?
I love it. This will be big. We'll sweep the state. Like he said, the Catholics, the women, the transgenders, they'll all love it. We can restore our grip on his base, which used to be our base.
The scene changes. We're back at Mar-a-Lago. The president is in the garden outside his office. His son, Barron, approaches.
Dad, how about throwing the football with me for a few minutes?
Baron, get one of those Secret Service guys to do that. They are very athletic.
Okay, Dad, but what's with the outfit? Not your usual style.
It's a pantsuit. You like it? I'm getting ready for the next inauguration. It will be big.
Well, okay. And I meant to tell you, I got a Chinese girlfriend now. Met her on the internet, and get this. She's Mao Zedong's great-granddaughter.
Good. Very good choice. And by the way, get cleaned up for tonight. I've got Pootie Poot coming for a very special dinner.
Sure, but who's Pootie Poot?
You know. That's what I call the Russian guy. We've gotten very close.
This has been Trump 2, written by me, Tom Flynn. Performed by Tom.
Joe.
Rolf.
Bohemian.
And Cat Meow.
Recorded with the help of the production team at KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. For the Ubu Hour.
Fuck! What in the devil?
Are you food? Or are you sex?
What in the devil?
Shouldn't we get back to the party?
Don't talk.
Still? So, what do we think?
Fuck! What in the devil?
Don't change that
dial because
you're tuned to the Ubu Hour Radio
Theater Show
on KBOO.
And now, our feature presentation.
You're in a large meadow on a hillside. You lie in the grass on a summer day. Next to you is a former lover, Karen. She holds your hand. You're on your back, looking up at the sky.
Such a beautiful day, Lance.
Hi, Karen.
You see anything in the clouds? I love to see shapes.
There's one that looks like South America.
More like Brazil. I see a horse.
Her hand is warm in yours. Hundreds of people are out there, relaxed and enjoying the warmth of the sun and the coolness of the breeze and the calmness of the clouds that float serenely high above.
Look at the shapes of birds up there.
A flock of birds?
Do you see them? Coming from the east.
A huge flock of strange birds, not geese.
Different sizes and shapes like nothing I've seen before.
Definitely not geese. Some are much bigger than others.
Some are huge with puny wings, lots of different birds.
That one has a head like a hammer. Not a bird at all.
No, not birds at all. It's like we're beneath an aquarium. What we thought were wings are fins.
Yes, they're elongated oval bodies of fish. That's what they look like we're at the bottom of the sea, looking up at them at the surface.
That's so strange. They do look like fish.
A bunch of fish. What are they doing up in the sky?
Fish that fly? Flying fish?
Those are not flying fish.
There must be 100 or more of them.
What are they doing?
They're stopping, turning, diving.
They're coming this way, diving towards us.
We'll now get a better look. Fish or bird?
The shapes high up in the sky swerve downward towards us. In a moment, they emerge from the haze of the sky, sharpen into focus.
Holy shit!
Oh my god!
No!
Help!
No!
Holy shit!
Shit!
Holy shit!
The idyllic moment is shattered. A panic spreads through the crowd. From the skies above, sharks, barracudas, piranha, stingrays, man-eaters, and man-killers of every variety plunge downward. Jaws wide, sharp teeth gleaming, the creatures dive bomb with vicious grins.
Oh, fuck!
Run! Run the trees!
Grab the
jaws of a large shark that has fallen on him. He's torn in half as the jaws clamp tight. A barracuda flops from a woman's neck as she runs and stumbles. Carnivorous fish tear at arms and legs. Rows of teeth rip flesh. Jaws snap open. Blood flies everywhere. Fish leap from victim to victim, snapping and biting. You run. And stumble.
No!
Lance!
Whoa!
Lance?
No! No!
Lance!
Whoa! Shelly!
I'm right here. You okay, Lance?
I think so.
Some kind of dream you were having.
Yeah, it was more like a nightmare. A very strange nightmare. I was lying on a meadow, and all these sharks and other deadly fish began to fall out of the sky and attack people around me. All these people fleeing.
Death from the skies.
Yeah, it was surreal.
It's like a scene out of Chance of Maldador.
Chance of what?
Maldador. Comte de L'Entremont? Never mind.
This dream, what do you think it means?
I don't know. The sky is falling, that you might someday drown, or some large object will fall on you, like a piano, a safe, or an anvil?
You're just making fun of me. Do dreams do that? Predict the future?
I don't think so, but I think it's possible the future can be affected by a powerful dream.
Isn't that the same thing?
Not quite. The memory of a dream, whether conscious or not, is in your head. The imprint of the dream in your head might have bearing on the decisions you make.
I don't know what you mean. That's too much for me.
Don't dwell on it. It will only make it worse.
How can I not? A dream like that. I won't forget that one soon, and usually I never remember my dreams.
Why don't we make love, Lance? Forget all about it.
I don't think I can right now. I need to get up, get something to eat.
Okay. Do what you have to do. Your body is replaced by cold air as you pad across the carpeted floor and into the kitchen. The refrigerator door opens. Several seconds pass, and then you shut it again.
More footsteps. You are at the window, I think, looking out at the dark trees and the dark sky. It's like you're closed off from the world.
There's nothing in the refrigerator. I know I can't get to sleep, and I don't want to keep Shelly awake with music, so I slip on my pants, open the far basement door quietly and smoothly, and step outside to the car.
Sometimes I think I don't know you. It's like you close yourself off from the world. You are a stranger, as if I am in a dream. That this is not my real life. That I don't really know you, Lance. This man I share a home and bed with. A chill passes down my spine, and I turn away towards the wall.
Inside the car, I don't know what I want to listen to. The CDs in the pocket remind me of Shelley. None of them appeal. I turn on the radio and hit the search. I feel lost, like I'm in a lost world. I turn the ignition on so the radio will not wear down the battery.
And here on the Holy Glory Hour, we will pray for this great nation that has survived these days of the nightmare of Christian assault.
Extra financing you will need to buy now. For extra financing, buy now. By now, you are probably wondering when this ad will end and we can return to our normal programming.
All the hits all the time. Every bleeping washed-up has-been from many different decades. Force down your stupid ear holes while we push a vast array of products.
Where Creationist Theme Park gets closed down by a satanic theme park called Cretaceous Park. A deliberate attack on the faith that built this nation. Christians assaulted here in America, not some Muslim land.
I would say this is further proof of the Muslim conquest of America under the Obama-Clinton regime.
Oregon's latest theme park with unbelievable creatures from a lost world, a fantastic zoo of living monsters and Monsantators, an adventure unlike any other. A mere hour and a half south of Portland, bring the whole family down to Cretaceous Park.
Cretaceous Dark, Part 2, The Lost World, here on Ubu Radio Theater. As our tale begins,
exterior, late night. A two-lane highway through hills past empty lots. Interior of the car. You are on a road trying to find your way back to a place you used to know, and then you pull up a dirt drive. You're at the front door.
Hi, Lance. What are you doing here? You want to come in?
Is that okay, Karen?
It must be almost midnight, and you show up. Come in, Lance. Chet, guess who?
Who is it?
As if you didn't know.
Are you and Chet in the middle of something?
Come in, Lance. Chet, is this your idea?
It's not my idea.
Maybe I should go.
Who's that?
It's Lance.
Lance? Lance, come in, Lance. Don't be a stranger.
You want a drink? We have beer, wine, a full bar.
I'm not interrupting anything.
No, come in, come in.
We were just talking about things, Lance. We were talking about how we should invite people over more often.
How long has it been, Lance? Sit down. What do you want to drink?
So how did Chet explain the situation, Lance?
Explain what?
Cut the bullshit, Karen. You obviously had this all planned out. How did you know I'd go along with it?
Stop it, Chet. I can be quick when I want to, but not that quick. It's nice to see you, Lance.
Thanks, Karen. You're probably wondering why I'm here.
So tell me, Lance, did Chet put you up to this?
No, I didn't know where else to go, Karen. You know how to analyze dreams, and I had a doozy earlier tonight. A real whopper.
Really? You want me to figure out your dream?
Yes.
Sure, under one condition.
Whatever, Karen. Name it.
You let both me and Chet parse your dream.
Chet too?
We're a team. The intimacy of dream decoding, and you can't expect me to leave Chet out of it. Besides, he studied dream therapy as much as I have.
Well, okay, I was lying in a field with you.
I was in your dream?
Yes, and we were lying there looking up at the sky.
Where's that drink, Chet?
Coming up.
Lance wants to tell us his dream, and I'm in it.
Let's hear it, Lance. Just say whatever. I want to hear it. Don't feel like there's any boundaries here. Just let it out, brother.
So, Lance, you and me are in a field. Are we rolling around in the grass like we did at Potter's farm?
No, there were other people in there.
Was I there?
I don't remember.
Other people watching us?
What were they watching you doing, Lance?
No, they were looking up at the sky at some strange birds.
Lance, were we, you know, like Potter's farm?
Let's hear all about it, Lance. Lay on all the juicy details. Karen told me all about Potter's farm.
No, it wasn't like that at all. Everyone was gazing up at the clouds when these strange dark shapes that weren't quite birds appeared. And then they dived at us, sharks and piranhas and creatures from the deep, falling from the skies to feed on us.
Fuck, Lance, that's not what I was expecting at all.
Any sexy mermaids in the mix? When is it getting erotic?
What the fuck? Why are you acting this way? Why are you...
Come on, Lance. That's why you're here this late?
Go ahead, Lance. Go ahead and feel her up.
No! Why are you... What the fuck?
Isn't that why you're here? Because you wanted to... You know what? And Chet and I were just talking about that. Spicing things up a little with our marriage.
We both like you a lot, Lance. Come back here.
There he goes. That was weird. Chet?
Don't look at me. Are you sure you didn't put him up to this?
No. That's so weird. I think he actually came here because he got freaked out by that dream.
That flying shark dream. You know what it reminds me of? That theme park they opened up across the river. You know, with the protesters.
Yes, the Cretaceous Creature Park?
Right here in God's chosen land, deliberate assaults against our sacred Christian beliefs, like this anti-Christian theme park, constructed a mere 20 minutes away from our own facilities to coerce Christian children on the path of Satan, science, and secularism.
They said it can't happen here, but you better believe it can. The continual liberal control of the White House is leading this nation down the path of hell. That's why we urge all listeners to boycott Cretaceous Park.
Three more ministries are sending volunteers to picket this heinous blot to Christian ideals and to put it mere miles from our creationist Bible Park. So come on down to Oregon's newest and most exciting theme adventure, Cretaceous Park, where you'll see incredible dinosaur reincarnations.
Much later that same night, Lance is on a back road, listening to the radio.
I'm talking about Cretaceous Park. Who knows what kind of dangerous devil monsters these people are cooking up in those labs. I hear tell of a winged air shark.
A flying shark?
Yes. A great white shark that flies in the sky. And there's other things too. Cretaceous Park is an evil place and it must be shut down immediately.
That's why we are calling out to all good Christians to come join us for a protest rally in the front parking lot of Cretaceous Park.
Dawn creeps over the eastern sky. Lance has not slept. Too late now with the approach of day. He realizes he's not too far from Cretaceous Park.
They have something to do with the flying sharks. Maybe someone there can help me. Maybe my dream was trying to lead me here in the first place.
Not much later, he's at the sign at the turnoff for Cretaceous Park. The black iron letters in a Jurassic Park-like font. The P in park has fallen upside down to look like a small D, so the sign reads Cretaceous Dark.
Damn it, Gory! When are you going to fix that damn sign?
It's just one letter, Sven. It adds character, adds a certain allure of uncertainty.
The sign is the least of our worries, Sven. We need to hire more people. All the free publicity of those protesters?
Those religious crazies. They're bringing in more customers than the money wasted on those radio ads.
That's not true. Everything reinforces everything else. That's how advertising works.
Anyway, Leah, we don't need to hire more people. We keep the operation lean, and we'll make the unit profitable. You know what that means, Leah?
It means more chance of someone getting hurt?
No! Freedom from the bean counters and bureaucracy! No more visits from corporate back in St. Louis.
Until we get hit by a big lawsuit, all we need is for one of your flying killers to break loose. Then this place gets shut down. Permanently.
Flying killers? You mean the Great White Shark?
Flying Great White? There's no such thing.
People keep asking about it. They want to know if it's real.
What people? Holy Rolyholic? The guy's a crackpot!
Listen, Corey. A shark, especially a great white, is too big to fly. The thing would never get off the ground.
A winged piranha, sure. Maybe a barracuda. Grafted with a large bird like an albatross or a condor? Or even a pelican. Voila! A winged barracuda. But the shark? It's not physically possible!
If you were creating one, you wouldn't want anyone to know, would you?
Well, someone knows something about something, if a rumor is going around. Seriously, Sven? How much is the Pentagon paying you for the flying piranha?
We need a backup funding source, in case Monsanto cuts us off. And we can't keep the park open. We need a contingency plan, Leah.
You're creating flying piranha for the Pentagon?
Think of it. 100 or more winged piranha let loose on an attacking army or a terrorist cell. We could solve a lot of military problems with an army of winged death.
You are sick, Sven. Breeding monsters for the military murder machine?
Stop heart bleeding on me with that bullshit. With this Defense Department contract, I can help keep America safe and strong.
And pocket a nice bit of personal change on the side, just like all the other greedy bastards who are eating this country from the inside. It makes me sick.
Come back here, Corey. He sure left in a hissy fit. What an outburst. Leah, where are you going?
I don't know who's worse, Ben. You or the Anti-Science League outside with their protest signs.
And then she's out of the lab area and in the main atrium of Cretaceous Park, walking among the visitors. The park looks rather innocuous, like any other third-rate science museum. Except for some small, genetically modified creatures in a case at one corner.
This is all it is? After all the drama of walking past the protesters and the police officers? Some hokey rides, a few hologram dinosaurs? Really, a place for kids. Cretaceous Park. A real disappointment.
Lance sits down at the small auditorium at one side. A film has just begun.
Life on Earth began 3.5 billion years ago as microbial creatures. Through the process of evolution, after 3 billion years, these single-celled creatures became plants and fungi. And not much later, appeared the first arthropods and other animals, including insects. Still later came birds and early reptiles, and eventually, a mere 130 years ago, from life evolved the first mammals, all through the wonders of evolution.
It's all lies! Evolution is a hoax.
Not this guy again. How many times do we have to throw him out? Call in the guards!
Through the wonders of genetic engineering, instead of thousands of years, we can evolve new life forms from other life forms in several weeks. We recombine the genetic materials of an iguana and an ostrich, and voila! We come up with something that looks remarkably like a small dinosaur.
They are messing with God! They make a mockery of all his creation! Evil!
Roly-Holic!
Evil!
We told you not to come back. Please leave, or our security will have to eject you.
They don't want me here because they know I tell the truth. The truth is that Creationist Park 20 minutes away. That place has the truth. This place, all lies.
Hey, you! You're the guy on the radio!
Radio? Yes, yes, I'm on the radio.
You were talking about a flying shark.
You know about the flying shark?
I saw the shark. I saw it in my dreams.
Okay, buddy. The show's over. Time to go.
Keep your filthy paws off of me. I'm going.
Lance, is that you?
All lies! Evolution is a hoax!
I am about to follow the man towards the exit, but a hand is on my shoulder. I turn to look. I recognize the woman, Shelly's friend, Leah.
Lance, is Shelly here?
No, Leah. You work here, don't you? I remember Shelly telling me that Leah worked in a park not too far away.
Yes. What are you doing here, Lance? Are you okay?
You're the top scientist here. You know things.
Not exactly. I do research here. Does Shelly know you're here? Are you meeting her here?
You can tell me about the flying sharks?
Flying sharks? Ugh, you too? What do you know about it?
Nothing. That's why I'm asking you.
There is no such thing. That guy they just threw out, Roly-Holic, he's making stuff up.
Flying shark. They were in my dreams.
Really? You had a dream with a winged shark?
No, it didn't have wings. And there were hundreds of them coming out of the sky.
That's a strange dream.
I came here because I thought maybe someone here could help me.
This is a science museum. We don't psychoanalyze dreams.
But maybe someone else knows about the flying shark?
Are you okay, Lance?
Yes, I'm fine. I need to find that other guy.
Lance, where are you going? Let me call Shelly and tell her you're here. You just stay calm.
There's nothing wrong with me. Why did I yell like that? Parents and children give me funny looks. I need to find someone who can tell me the truth. The man who was kicked out. I reached the door. She trails a dozen feet behind me, watching me suspiciously.
Lance, come back here.
No, you're not telling me what I want to know.
And then he's outside. He takes several steps, the bright morning sun temporarily blinding him.
Where am I? Where's the parking lot?
That was the wrong door. And now we're locked in.
You mean we're locked out?
No. Locked in the biodome habitat. Shit!
What the fuck?
We gotta run. This way.
What the fuck is that thing?
It's part gorilla and part elephant. This way.
There's another over there.
That one's even worse. Part shark and part hippopotamus. A big ugly thing. But not very fast. Keep running.
There's nowhere else to go.
They're on the edge of a cliff with the gorilla-elephant hybrid lumbering towards them. And 100 feet behind that one, the shark head on a hippo's fat body.
A real cliffhanger. There's only one way to go.
Where?
Down there. We jump for it.
What?
Several hundred feet below them is a tiny mud pool of water. The enormous ape elephant towers above them, pounding its chest with its elephantine forearms, and then it's reaching its trunk towards them.
It's our only chance. Away we go!
She grabs his hand and pulls him after her as the trunk tries to wrap around his neck. And then they free fall while the creature above them bellows loudly.
only its trunk visible over the edge of the cliff. They fall!
No, fuck! We're gonna die or be horribly crippled!
Stop crushing my hand! Get ready!
And fall! And fall!
No!
3, 2, 1!
And then they hit water. Sputtering and dazed, he slowly pulls himself out of the muck.
Lance? Are you okay?
I'm alive. Oh, I'm alive.
He struggles to his feet, but then falls back on his knees, still weak from shock. Across the water from him, a dozen feet away, she stands with her hands on her hips. They're both sopping wet.
I made it okay. How about you?
Am I alive? Or am I in the afterlife?
She's across the pool of lust from him. His eyes bounce from her face, too.
You feeling okay? Tell me how you feel.
I remember when I... For the whole week, after Shelley and I hung out with you, the way you smiled to me when we crossed paths in the bathroom. I have such a crush on you.
The thin white lab coat and slacks soak through. The cotton vanishes like another skin to reveal, through a shimmer of watery gloss, her nipples and her...
Are we in heaven?
No, we survived. You can hear those creatures fight it out up there. But we escaped. You like what you see?
We're really alive. We survived. I'm sorry.
That's okay. You don't have to avert your eyes like I'm a leper. Look at yourself. You're not hiding that.
He looks down at his soaked garments. His fear-stiffened penis is completely visible beneath the wet fabric of his pants. He looks up to see her looking at the same thing. She licks her lips.
I'm cold. Why don't you come over here and warm me up?
I can't do that if you tell Shelley.
Fuck Shelley. It's just you and me. She doesn't have to know. And this is what you want. You can't hide that.
You won't tell Shelley?
No. Why'd I do that?
So she'll dump me.
No. If I told her, she'd dump me as well, Lance. What happens here will be our little secret.
Our little secret?
It's what you want and what I want. It's sociobiological instinct and a good post-trauma coping session in a highly stressed situation that we narrowly escaped in its natural selection. We survived, Lance. We could now be dead to those monsters up there. So why not?
Why not?
Tell me, Lance. Why not?
Because we deserve it?
Yes. That and more. Come and get it.
What do I have to lose?
He gets to his feet and starts wading in the water towards the scientist. She leans forward, provocatively.
Shelley?
Hi, Leah. How's it going?
Okay, I guess. What's up?
It's Lance. He took off last night. Drove away in the middle of the night.
You don't know where he went?
No. If I did...
You think he went back to Karen?
No. Karen's married.
Did you have a fight before he left?
No, nothing like that. But there was something.
Something what?
A dream he had. He woke from this dream.
People don't normally leave people for a dream. At least not one they have at night. Did he tell you the dream?
Yes.
So what happened?
He was lying in the grass and a huge shark came out of the sky and tried to eat him.
A huge what?
A shark. More than one.
A shark? A flying shark?
Yes, Leah. A flying shark. It came out of the sky.
That's really weird, Shelley.
A shark dive bombing people. It sure is weird.
Did he say anything else about the winged shark?
I don't know. Just the dream. A shark and a barracuda. You're a scientist, Leah. Is there such a thing as a flying shark?
Of course not. Birds and mammals fly. And shark are fish. Fish do not fly.
But there are fish that fly. Flying fish?
The Exocetidae. You got me there, Shelley. But they merely glide. Not real flying. As for Lance, He probably got the dream from a photo of an old warplane with shark teeth on the nose.
Yeah, or maybe the Sharknado. I didn't think of that. Leah, can I come visit you?
Here in Cretaceous Park?
Sure. I need to get out of the house. I don't want to be here by myself.
That might be a good idea. There's things I can tell you that I can't say over the phone.
What if Shelly finds out? She can see things like that, but one of us gets drunk and blurts it out.
You're being stupid, Lance. She will never know. I want you. I want you to fuck me.
He is close enough that he can reach out and touch her breasts. And yet, he cannot step closer. She steps back.
Come here. Come here. Out of the water. The sand is soft and warm on this side. Come here before it's too late.
But what if... I don't know if I should.
Now. Before it's too late. Lance? Fuck.
She looks up at a strange sound from the sky. He looks up too. What? On the top of the cliff, the elephant-sized apeoid pounds its front hooves on its breast in victory. But he doesn't see that. All he can see are the wide-open jaws, rows upon rows of large, sharp teeth as the shark hippo creature falls directly on top of him, agape mouth first.
And everything is dark. Either crushed by the beast, or devoured by it, or all of the above.
That's him! That's the man who saw the winged shark!
Are you okay, son?
Where am I? Is this the afterlife?
The parking lot. You're with friends now. You're out of that terrible place. You were so weak you fainted.
I didn't get any sleep last night. I was inside. It was like a bad dream.
A bad dream, that's right. A very bad dream. You tell us all about the terrible place. You saw the winged shark.
It wasn't winged, it was coming out of the sky. It was in my dream. A flying shark.
What other horrors inside the park can you tell to our many viewers?
Inside the park? No, not inside the park. It was a nightmare.
Let me handle this, Reverend. Tell us about the nightmare, Lance. Would you describe it as evil?
Yes, it was evil.
Shelly?
Hi, Leah. I'm at the entrance now.
He's here.
What?
Lance, here.
He's there?
Uh-huh. About 30 minutes ago. I called you as soon as I could.
Well, put him on the phone, Leah.
I can't do that. You need to get here.
Is he okay?
He'll be okay.
Did he get hurt?
Nothing serious. He collapsed in the parking lot. But he'll be fine. We have him in a room. Sedated.
Sedated?
He needed to rest. He got no sleep last night.
Why was he there? Was it... that dream that he had? Was he having some sort of breakdown?
I can't say anything more until you get here, Shelly.
Ladies and gentlemen, I talked to a man today who has actually seen the winged shark. They took him inside and they won't let him back out. But I already have him on tape.
Not tape, digital media, Raleigh.
I have him bearing witness that the winged shark exists because he saw one. Now, I think he knows a lot more. I think he can spill the beans on Cretaceous Park, and we can shutter this abomination for good.
Once we shut this foul place down, Creationist Park will be saved. I knew you'd find the dirt on them.
But they're on to me. They won't let him back out for another interview. I don't even know if he's still alive in there, but so far we've seen neither hearse nor ambulance.
But then, we'll never get the dirt on them.
No. One mistake will only lead to a far worse mistake. They are falling into our trap. The attempt to cover up will become as prosecutable as the original crime. They just roll double or nothing. Each time they think they are winning, they are set up to lose far more.
Let's go to that interview now with Lance Channing, who can tell us a little of what he saw inside.
Mr. Channing, you were inside the Cretaceousness Park, weren't you?
Yes, I was inside. It was like a bad dream. You saw the winged shark? It was winged. It was coming out of the sky. It was a flying shark. It was like a nightmare.
What other horrors inside the park can you tell to our many viewers?
Inside the park, it was evil. A nightmare.
And he was about to tell us much more, but at that moment, the Cretaceous people, with the help of the police, took him away from us, took him inside the park, and he has not come out since. That was 2 days ago. What are they hiding? What are they covering up?
The story hasn't ended. Not by a long shot. But we'll get to the bottom of it. You keep it tuned here, listener, because we will get to the bottom of it.
This has been the Ubu production of Cretaceous Dark, Part 2. The Lost World. The Lost World was written and directed by Rolf Severbon and performed by
Rolf,
Demi,
Anne,
Larry,
Ken,
M. Watson,
your name man,
Randy Saucepan.
To hear Cretaceous Dark Part 1 or other Ubu Hour dramas, go to kboo.fm and look for Ubu Hour, that's spelled U-B-U. And stay tuned to the Ubu Hour. Sometime in the future, we will air Part 3, the thrilling conclusion to Cretaceous Dark.
Okay?
Don't
and I don't do anything. I sit here like a jerk off all day.
Don't fucking yell at me. Don't fucking yell at me.
What is this?
Listen, do you know who's lying there?
What? No, of course not. How the fuck did they get in? What was it, a window, a door?
It's not part of the fucking plan. Bastards closed down the branch.
Windows are sealed, the door was locked, and the alarm was turned off.
What now, little brother?
That's impossible. I'm telling you, the door was locked, and the alarm was turned off.
What in the devil?
You, dear listener, have survived another episode of the Ubu Hour Radio Theater Show.
Tune in at 11 p.m. every Monday night on KBOO for the Radio Theater Hour. The second Monday of the month, it will be Sub-Intellect Human Theater.
The third Monday gives you the Gremlin Time, and on the fourth Monday, it's Sudden Rerun Radio Project.
And the Ubu Hour returns on the first Monday of August with all new material.
Hey, you go!
What the hell are you doing?
But
If you can't wait until then, you can catch previous episodes on the web. Just go to kboo.fm
and look for Ubu, spelled U-B-U, hour.
And we'll see you next month. Thank you for listening.
And that's a wrap. Another half minute of music, and then it will be time for Joe Wood and his tacky cha-cha club.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the premiere screening of Precipice Award-funded animation project, Jen Likes Heroin, on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater in Portland. Jen Likes Heroin is an animated short film which takes place at the long-defunct X-Ray Cafe. Following the animation, there will be a showing of the documentary about the X-Ray Cafe called X-Ray Visions, and a short acoustic set by Sean Krogan of The Pinnacles and Cracker Bash. Again, that's a screening of X-Ray Visions and Jen Likes Heroin and a live performance by Sean Krogan on Thursday, March 9th at 7 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater, 4122 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Take it to the beach, diggy, take it to the beach, diggy, take it to the beach.
That's what we planned, but she stood me up. Roxanne, Roxanne.
Roxanne, Roxanne.
I wanna be your man.
Roxanne, Roxanne.
And here's our game plan.
Here's your game plan. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, March 9th, just before midnight, as we celebrate a trip back in time to Queens, New York, 1999.